I'd like to read first in the book of Romans, Epistle to the Romans in chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and the very end of the chapter, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the act of favour of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, Luke 23, and from verse 39. Now one of the malefactors who had been hanged spoke insultingly to him, saying, "Art not thou the Christ? Save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou too not fear God, thou that are under the same judgment? And we indeed justly, for we receive the just recompense of what we have done. But this man has done nothing amiss." And he said to Jesus, "Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Verily, verily, I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, and there came darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple rent in the midst. Jesus, having cried with a loud voice, said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he expired. Book of the Psalms, Psalm 103, and we'll read from verse 10. "He hath not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." And finally, the Gospel of Luke again in chapter 15. Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and we'll just read from verse 20. "And he rose up and went to his own father. But while he was yet a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and fell upon his neck and covered him with kisses. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his bondman, 'Bring out the best robe and clothe him in it, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and has come to life, was lost and has been found.' And they began to make merry." My impression for the gospel tonight is the thought of reward. Reward. We see, I think there's really two different instances of reward happening recently. Those who put in the effort and strive for and discipline are receiving the reward for their endeavours at the Olympics, receiving their medals, taking part in sport. And those who have committed criminal activity, receiving their reward in the courts of justice of this land. Tonight, we should speak about God's reward and how he has not dealt with us, rewarded us, or does not desire to reward us with what we should be rewarded, but is seeking rather tonight to bless you. It began in Romans 6. Paul is very clear. The wages of sin, or the reward of sin, is death. But the act of favour of God. The act of favour of God. What a thing to speak on. The favour of God. God is not a distant God. God is not a God that is looking on and wants to remain outside of your life. God wants to shine his favour upon you. God's desire is to bless you, to bring you into the most wonderful blessing. It says here, the act of favour of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is what he has on offer, eternal life. But he can't just grant you it. Well, his desire is to bless, yes, but there has to be an answer from your heart. There has to be a response from your heart. You are a sinner. We are all sinners. The wages of sin is death. That's the position we're all under. We're always earning. God cannot just grant you eternal life without something, a transaction having taken place. And that is why we turn to Luke 23. This man on the cross, he recognized that he was receiving his just reward. He recognized that he was a sinner. Not before those who were there. He recognized that he was a sinner before God. He recognized that the man next to him had done nothing amiss. He was in the presence of one who was perfect. How he got that impression, we do not know. He received it very quickly. Dost thou too not fear God, thou that are under the same judgment, and we indeed justly, for we receive the just recompense, the just reward of what we have done. Whatever these men had done, they were receiving their just reward for it. But this man, think of that. Think of that malefactor. Think of the sighing of the grace of God. Grace reigns where sin and death abound. Here we see it here, grace reigning on the cross as it touched this man's life at the very point he was going to die. Think of God acting in favour towards this malefactor who recognised that he was a sinner. Each one of us recognised we're sinners before God. Oh, but the act of favour of God coming in at this moment. He repented and he acknowledged, put his faith and trust in Jesus. This man has done nothing amiss. Jesus, what a blessing he gets. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. There could be no further diametric opposed things than the cross and paradise. But that man, he got a promise from the Lord. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What a favour he got. He said, oh, he was a sinner. Yes, he was a sinner. He recognised he was a sinner. But he came and he acknowledged the one who was next to him. He put his faith and trust in Jesus. He recognised that Jesus was on the cross for him. And this transaction that I've read about from verse 44, well, this is how God is able to come out in blessing towards us tonight. This is how he's able to show us favour, because there was one who came, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and he was nailed to a cross, lifted up to die. I didn't read that bit earlier on in this chapter. He was lifted up to die, and we have this point here, the sixth hour. The sixth hour, came darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. What happened here at this point was the transaction between a holy and righteous God and the man Christ Jesus. A transaction that we are not permitted to look upon. When God visited upon Jesus, what should have been borne by you and I? The wrath of God, the judgment of God against the sins that you and I have committed. Did Jesus receive the just reward for his life? Not a bit of it. This man has done nothing amiss. This is a life that should have been celebrated, a life that should have gone on and on and on. There was nothing in the Lord Jesus that would have caused him to die. Death is passed upon all, for all have sinned does not apply to the Lord Jesus. But Jesus was there on your behalf and on mine, that God tonight could come out in blessing to you and I. The sun was darkened, and then the veil of the temple rent in the midst. What was that? What happened there? That was God coming out in blessing towards you and I. That was God saying that the work was finished, that he was completely satisfied with the work on the cross. And the Lord says, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He gave up his life for you. He gave up his life for me. We've spoken of the wages of sin being death. The Lord Jesus, he gave up his life. nothing he had ever done that caused the Lord Jesus to die, you know. Think of what Barabbas must have thought about. Think of Barabbas. He's not often talked about. But he was the one that the Lord Jesus took his place on the cross. In actuality, Barabbas was spared, the Lord Jesus was taken. We know nothing more about him. We know not if it had affected him or not. But the Lord Jesus took what was due to Barabbas and went to the cross. Psalm 103. He hath not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. God is a holy God, a righteous God, a just God. It begins, the gospel really begins with God. Begins with his nature. We sang about it, we spoke about it this morning so affectingly. God's nature being love. God's nature being also light. And there is no compromise with God. There was no way that God could show his love to us without his righteousness and his justice, his righteousness being and holiness being upheld. These things had to go together. He couldn't give up his holiness to show us his love. But he also wouldn't give up showing us his love on account of his holiness and his righteousness. His desire was to bless, desire to come out in love to you. And in the cross of Christ we see how God can save, yet righteous be. Because there was one who was prepared to stand in the breach between a holy and righteous God and the sinful creature. The mediator between God and man, one. The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Think of it. Think of Jesus giving himself for us. Giving himself for you, the sinner. I love, and I often repeat those words of Paul. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that he could come out tonight and not deal with us according to our sins. Oh, it's great. The mercy of God is a wondrous subject. The mercy of God can be extended towards you tonight because his wrath and his judgment has been exhausted by Christ on the cross. So tonight, if you will come and accept him as Saviour and Lord, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. That is, if you come and accept Jesus Christ as your Saviour, come in repentance. Come and accept what you are before a holy and righteous God. Not what we are before anybody else in the world. We don't compare ourselves to others. We're not better than anybody else. No one is better than anybody else. We're all sinners. But you come. Come and accept what you are before God. Come and bow. Bow to God. And you know he takes those sins. And as far as the east is from the west, it's an immeasurable distance. Another writer says, your sins and iniquities I will never remember forevermore. It is not that God forgets, he cannot forget, but he chooses not to remember. What a wondrous blessing that is, you know. He doesn't deal with us according to our iniquities, according to our sins. These things were dealt with on the cross of Christ, on the cross of Calvary, borne by Jesus. My sins were borne by Jesus when alone at Calvary's cross, you know. As far as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving kindness or his mercy toward them that fear him. Oh, how wondrous is the loving kindness of God. But not only does he not deal with us according to what we have done. If we come and accept him as Saviour, Jesus as Saviour and Lord, not only does he just not say we're forgiven. He's willing to forgive. He doesn't leave us there. And that's why I read in Luke 15, think of the reward that God has in store for you. It's not just a case of forgiving us our sins. That is a wondrous thing. And if that was all that God had in mind, that would be wondrous grace. It would be wondrous grace. If God not dealing with us according to our sins and just saying your sins are forgiven you. All this returning son was looking for was a servant's portion. A place just inside the door, you might say. He'd gone away, he'd sinned, he'd disappeared. The property that was given to him, he just wasted it away. He'd really offended his father by asking for it in the first place. He says, how many hired servants of my father have abundance of bread? Make me as one of thy hired servants. You know, I don't think this returning son, it definitely wasn't prepared for the welcome that he got. Are you prepared for the welcome that you would get coming? Coming by faith to God, not fearfully, but coming and just accepting what you are before God. He says, Father, I have sinned. But first and foremost, the Father runs towards him and covers him and kisses. He reaches out to that younger son and he envelops him in his love. He covers him and kisses. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. You know, the father doesn't respond. And I just thought about it as I was reading the scripture. He doesn't speak to the son. He doesn't say, it's okay, don't worry about it. But he displays in his actions how much the son meant to him. You know, and God would display towards you how much love he feels towards you by what he do for you. Think of what he brings out. He brings out the best robe. Think of what this returning son would is. Filthy rags. He'd been feeding pigs. He hadn't had time to make himself ready. He came to himself and he went to the Father. Oh, there's a hymn that says, and I can't quote it right, but along the lines of dreaming of your fitness or making yourself fit. You can't make yourself fit for God. There's nothing you can do. And it's pointless anyway because God knows all about you. God's got the very best in mind for you. Bring out the best robe and clothe him in it. Put the ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. These things, you know, these things that would be given to a son. And they'd be given to you. God wants you in his presence as a son. Wants to restore the son's place, particularly in is something maybe that's been lost in the modern world, but in Jewish times and in past, the son would have had everything. And that's what God wants you to have. He wants you to have the full blessing of heaven. That's his reward to you. Have you done anything to deserve it? No. Christ has done everything for you. And because Christ has done everything, God wants to bless you. The work has been done. The work has been finished. This ring on your finger, we speak of the eternal love of God. It's an eternal promise. It's an eternal reward. You know, we sang of a hymn one of our hymns at the end this morning. I was struck by it. The eternal sunshine. What a hope the believer has. Eternal sunshine. In the presence of God forever. That is dwelling in the light of Jesus. You know, it speaks of it in heaven. It will be that light that shines supreme will be Jesus. Oh, we speak of the glory of the shining of the sun, but nothing to be compared to the shining of Jesus. Sandals on his feet. Clothed. Ring. Sandals. Able to walk. Walk around those courts of heaven. Reminded of what the Lord says, you know, in my Father's house there are many abodes. Were it not so, I would have told you. Now think of the reward of heaven. Think of how it can be yours tonight. Can be enjoying it even now. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and make merry. This my son was dead. Dead in offences and sins, it speaks of in Ephesians. Away from God. A God whose you are and who you belong to. This my son was dead and has come to life. Was lost and has been found. They began to make merry. And has often been said, there's no end to this merriment here. There's no end to it. They began to make merry. Think of the joy, the peace you can have in your heart is coming to Jesus. Think of the reward that you can enjoy now and forever. Oh, what a great reward it is. Well, it's a simple impression. God has not dealt with us according to our iniquities. He's not rewarded us with what we deserved, which was judgment. There is a time coming when that will be the case. And it is a solemn sign to the glad tidings that if you refuse God's offer, He has nothing left. And refuse God's grace, there's nothing left for you but judgment. But tonight there is hope. Tonight God wants to reward you with the blessings of heaven. All you have to do, repent, accept what you are before a holy and righteous God, and put your faith and trust in Jesus. Well, may you enjoy this reward. May it be so for His name's sake.